Good evening, everyone. It's great to be here tonight to share my testimony with you all. I don't need to introduce myself now, you all know my name. Known by most as Johnny, a very slim few would give me my proper title apart from my mother, maybe the ones that left me Carol, but Johnny is the name I normally get. I hope you enjoy what I'm going to tell you tonight. Basically, it's a glimpse to my past, my present, and, well, my future is in the hands of a good man, you know. I was born on the 26th of February, 1973. I'm married with three boys. My mum's still alive. My father's dead, and I have one younger sister, Joanne. I had a good country upbringing in a place called Kildogue, if any of you know it. There's one man here seems to know where it is anyway. I attended Sunday school and church on a regular basis, and I got to wear one of those white robes. I was a member of the choir, so done a bit of singing as well. I lived through life quite well until the age of 16. One night I went out with the wrong boys, and they basically ended up saying, here, take a drink. So I took a drink, led to two, led to three. Back then I thought it was, you had to be drinking with the boys to be with the boys sort of thing. Started work at the age of 17, and I've always held down a good job. Earning good money, with good money came more drink. Drunk every weekend, I'm going to say every weekend, a mean weekend. Drunk Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. Then came gambling. Started gambling, lost every time. Thought I'll get it back the next time. Never got it back. Out of gambling came debt. I was married to Heller on the 2nd of June 1995. I went on to have three lovely boys. Matthew, who's now 10, who's with me there. Curtis is 7 and Timothy is 3. Lived a typical family life, well, as typical as it could be. It had its ups and downs, good times and bad times. And admittedly, the bad times were down to my drinking and gambling. Moving on then, until 2004, my father, a man who'd never bothered the doctor in his life, took ill and was diagnosed with bowel cancer at the age of 58. Had to go to hospital, Alvin McGalvin had his bowel removed. The operation at the time was a success, but then there would be complications. Later in the summer of 2005, he had to go on and have another operation. Out of the operation, he took a chest infection, ended up in intensive care, came through, moved back to a different ward. On the 1st of November 2005, my wife Heller was to be taken to Alvin McGalvin to deliver our third child by caesarean section. And later that day, Timothy was born. Soon after, I went to the ward, my dad was to tell him the good news, and praise God, the child was christened Timothy Houston after my father. I finally got to leave the hospital for a short time. I switched my mobile phone on to tell everyone the good news, and as I switched it on, it rang. It was my auntie's boyfriend to tell me that my mum had collapsed at home and was on her way on the back of an ambulance. I basically locked the car, ran to A&E, where I met my mum in the back of an ambulance, and she was attended to. Later on, it was established that my mum had taken a heart attack, and she was moved to coronary care, hooked up to all sorts of machines. And when I found a minute, I was left with the job of going to tell my father in Ward 2 and my wife with a newborn child in another ward the news. Late the next day, my mum took another heart attack, and I was told basically to get all the immediate family, phone the minister. They reckon she wasn't going to make it through the night. At that stage, I remember standing in the corridor in coronary care, thinking to myself, what else can possibly happen? Who could have written this book? We were then told, because of my mum had age on her side, that they were going to move her to intensive care. And basically all that was keeping her alive was a life support machine. Days came and went, and I visited my mum in intensive care, my dad in the other ward. My wife Heller got home. I sat and chatted to my mum. My mum didn't chat back. My mum was hooked to a life support machine. Basically, after a while, they started to reduce some sedation that they had my mum under in the hope that something would happen. Now, through of all this, Liz McCarroll, there was a lot of prayer on that for my mother and Liz McCarroll. A lot of prayer. And somehow my mum made a miraculous recovery. She got to leave intensive care. She got eventually to leave hospital. She was told in leaving hospital that her heart was badly damaged. But then, for some reason, in a checkup some 8-9 months later, the doctors couldn't work out what her heart had fully recovered. My dad got out of hospital, and with everyone back at home, life went on as normal as it could. But in the back of my mind, my dad's cancer, would my mum's heart be okay, was still there. Time passed on, and on 26th of February 2006 came my birthday. My dad phoned that morning to wish me happy birthday, and he said to me, "Son, can you call on the way home? I have a present for you." I agreed. Called on the way home, met with my father at the door with a bucket of coal in his hand, something he loved doing, putting the fire on. Left the coal down, gave me a big hug, gave me my present. I stayed for a coffee and with a bit of a chat. Little did I know, this would be the last words I would speak to my father and the last time I would see him alive. The next morning, the 27th of February, I got a phone call from my sister in hysterics to say my dad had collapsed and I'd better make my way to the house. I arrived at the house to find paramedics working with him, but somehow when I looked, I didn't think there was going to be much they could do. Soon after, he was pronounced dead. During my dad's illness, the Reverend Slater had visited on a regular basis, and 2 weeks before my father died, and I praise the Lord, he trusted him. In a conversation my dad and mum had the day he was saved, the words he said to my mum was, "If there's a heaven, I'm in it, and I can let you know I'm okay, I will." It was back then that I think the Lord started to really have an effect on my life. Brenda, my secretary at work at the time, had brought me a memory verse. I couldn't leave it down. The words were so meaningful. I read it over and over again. Something kept telling me that I had to read this at my dad's funeral. Didn't know how it was arranged with the Reverend Slater that I would do the reading on the understanding the fee nodded and I didn't get up, he would carry on. The day of the funeral arrived, and I nodded. I got up. I stood with one hand in my father's coffin, the memory card in the other, and I read the verse without any nerves whatsoever. After the service, people come up to me and they said they didn't know how I had managed to do what I had just done in reading the verse. Deep down at that stage, I knew there was only one man that gave me the strength to do what I did that day. After his granddad died, Matthew, who's here, was 7 at the time, he decided he would look after his granny. Every weekend he spent there, sleeping over, summer holidays, we never seen him. One day off school, we never seen him. He spent Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, he had to be lifted to go to Sunday school. He wouldn't come home. And he was a great strength to my mum. Then one day, something very special happened. Matthew was staying with his granny. Now, Matthew had not heard or been told about the conversation that my dad and mum had about if there's a heaven. I'm in it. Granny, he said, "Does Granny ever speak to you?" Her answer was, "No, son, why do you ask?" Matthew went on to explain to his granny, "Well, he didn't actually speak to me, but he put it on there." And the message Matthew had was, "Grandma says, it's okay, you'll be fine." Shortly after that, on the 12th of May, we were barbecuing at home. Matthew disappeared. He went to his room, knelt down at the side of his bed, and I prayed to God, Matthew was saved that evening. He told us when he came back downstairs to tell us the good news that when Grandma put the message in his head, that he started thinking even more about the Lord. Matthew still prays and reads on a daily basis. He can't get enough books. He attends Sunday school and church regularly. He goes to 5-day clubs. He's just been to one, John Campbell in Upper Cumber, finished on Friday. He's going to CAF camp in Castle Rock on Tuesday. God bless him when he goes there. He has continued to follow in the path that he was led. Now back to me, it was a different story. After losing my father and almost losing my mother, I thought the answer was at the bottom of a bottle of red wine. Maybe 2 bottles. It wasn't coping very well. Heather and the boys couldn't stand the sight of me drinking. I didn't see it. Many a heated conversation took place. After that, I would agree to stop for a week, maybe a fortnight. Kept going back. I had a real big problem and didn't see it. It was the creation of more than enough rouse in the house. Then late last summer, I started feeling really low. I had lost all interest. I had no energy. I was paranoid about things. I started accusing Heather of all sorts of ridiculous things. Imagines things were happening. I just didn't care anymore. Kept thinking to myself, I'd be better off dead. At least this would be all away. On 2 occasions, travelling from Clody to Coleraine to work, I sat on the main Dungiven Road, watched a lorry coming, and thought, if I pull out now, all this will be over. But I didn't. Things at home went from bad to worse. Christmas Eve, I finally decided I would go to the doctor. Went to the doctor, who told me I was suffering from severe depression. When I asked him how or why, he told me basically delayed reaction to all that had happened in the past. I was given 3 months course of tablets and started taking them. Christmas morning came and I had no interest. It was the worst Christmas ever. From then on, things at home got really bad. And one night, Heller and I had words. In my paranoid state that I was in at the time, we split up. I went to my mum's to stay. My life had hit rock bottom at this stage. The drinking and all that had came with it had pushed Heller away and the boys as well. The only people that I had lived for, I was now without them. On the Sunday evening of that week, I was lying on the sofa. My mum, who trusted in the Lord some short while after my father passed away, concerned about all that was going on in my life and what was going on in my head, said to me, why don't you come to Lismy Carroll? I took one look at her and I remember thinking, my head's going round with everything that's going on and you're going to start ramping and raving about going to Lismy Carroll. Did she give up? No, my mum didn't give up. She kept on and on until eventually I said, Mum, go away and do my headpiece. My mum did go away. My mum went to her bedroom, knelt on her knees and cried to the Lord that I would see sense and go with her to that meeting. Sometime later, my mum came down the stairs again and asked the same question again. Now this time she got a different answer. I said, make me a cup of coffee and I'll decide what I'm going to do. I drank the coffee and was getting ready to go to Lismy Carroll. We arrived at Lismy Carroll and had to sit right at the front. My mum and Valerie here, my auntie, known in Lismy Carroll as the late shift. Only seats left are the 2 at the front. Always late. Sat down anyway, the hall was packed. The speaker that night was Ralph Pickering. I listened to his word, and about halfway through the service, I remember looking at my mum and thinking, you set this up well. This man's talking to me, and he's talking about me. My mum says, no, definitely not. After the service, Ralph said to Joan Lynch, she asked who it was, and basically he sensed that I was seeking something that night. I went home and started reading my Bible. And then Tuesday night, went back again. Harry was there that night. Remember listening to Harry intently. And then back again on Sunday, the 7th of February. 7th of February is a very special date for me. But at this time and entering the meeting, I didn't know that. It was Caldwell Dara. Caldwell started to preach. And I listened. And I thought, here we go again. Set up again. Talking to me. Talking about me. And boy, halfway through the meeting, my intentions were very clear. After the meeting, I went straight up to Caldwell and I says, Caldwell, would you come and pray with me? And we did. We went into the wee back room, we had time of prayer, and it was there that I trusted in the Lord. I felt a great relief. A great burden had been lifted, and all my sins had been forgiven. And believe you me, there had been many. To this day, I attend Lismacarrel on a Tuesday and a Sunday, and started the night recently on a Wednesday for time of prayer. And moving on into the meeting Sunday 3 weeks ago, this man sitting behind me here, Harry, in a conversation, in a time of fellowship, popped the question, why don't you come with me tonight and give your testimony? I didn't know. I was unsure. So all I could do was go home and pray about it. And I left it with the Lord. Sunday through to Thursday, I got no word back. And then on the Friday, I'm going to read it out to you now. I'm reading the book at the minute, The Battle. On the Friday evening, I open the book to do my daily reading. And here's what it says. Launch Out was the title. Launching out into the deep is never easy. With most people, there is a fear, the deep. And naturally, many hesitate to go forward into new ventures for God and perishing souls. If the disciples had not obeyed the command of the Master that day, there would have been no massive catch of fish. Is the Lord impressing upon your heart tonight to do something new for him, something of which you have hitherto been afraid? Well, here is your opportunity. Launch out. Go forward now with God and for God. Wonderful things lie ahead for you, and for you, his blessed will. You will be thrilled to the depth of your being as you become an adventurer for the kingdom. Too long you've held back, remaining in shallow waters, and missing the best that God has for you. You can do it, the Lord Jesus and you together. He won't fail you, and he will go before you in everything. Hear his words of encouragement to you today as you hesitate. Launch out into the deep. And that was my answer to my prayer and what I was going to do about tonight. Excuse me a second. Then on Saturday the 20th of February, June just passed, I had the three boys all day, and I had been keeping four of them all week, UCB books. I told them about them. We arrived at my mum's that Saturday, and they got their books. Matthew sat reading his and his own. Timothy, the young boy, I read his, and Granny got the job of helping Curtis. It was a real special time in the house, everyone sitting, reading and hearing God's word. And as I read Timothy's book, he was very, very curious. Through the reading of the book, he would stop me and ask questions. Who's that man? What's that in his head? Why was he nailed to the cross? And so on. And I was delighted that he'd shown such an interest at the age of 3. My mum and Curtis were doing a puzzle in his book. 5 events that happened in order of the Bible, and Curtis got the job of numbering them 1 to 5, and he got them all right. Shortly after I'd finished reading Timothy's book, Curtis seen his opportunity and he landed beside me on the sofa. And I asked the question, Dad, he says, how do you get saved? I explained. Left him home that night, The next day was Father's Day. I had the boys again. And Matthew here announced, "Daddy, Curtis has something to tell you." Matthew and Curtis went to bed that night, and Matthew led his younger brother Curtis, who's now 7, to the Lord. They both kneeled at the side of the bed, and Matthew prayed with them and read a verse from the back of the UCB book that I'd given them that day. It was the best Father's Day present I could have asked for. I'm still apart from Heller and the boys today. I pray morning, noon and night. And I do strongly believe that my prayers will be answered. Remember, it's not in our time, but in His. Just quickly moving on here, a few comments on what I've just told you there and what I found out of my experience. We have the power of prayer. My mum was so well in hospital and was prayed for. And she's sitting here tonight. She made a full recovery and went on to find the Lord. The gypsy man, Kevin Purcell, prayed with my mum at the YMCA driving in Drumahoe that her heart would make a full recovery. And it did. I was being prayed for a long time before I attended Lismacarroll, but didn't know it. And look where I ended up. Since I found the Lord, I've prayed for my family. And look at Curtis last week past. Answered prayer again. When I asked for guidance about whether I would be here tonight or not, I got my answer. I were also told the Lord speaks through the mind of a child. Well, He certainly did that. He certainly did. Looking back at the way the Lord started working in my family life, first my dad, then my mum, Matthew, then me, and most recently Curtis. But He's not finished there. The Lord wants complete household salvation. And He doesn't do things by halves. I can't start to imagine where I would be today. Certainly wouldn't be standing here if I hadn't found the Lord. I praise God that I'm here tonight and look forward to my continued journey with Him. Only He knows what the future holds for me at this moment in time. I live in the knowing that when He calls me home, I'm going to a better place and I'll be reunited with my loved ones. And lastly, just a wee reading here. This wee reading is on the back of a wee memory card we got done up for my father when he passed away. I'm going to have to hold it quite close because it is quite small. One night a man had a dream. He dreamt he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along his path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, so he questioned the Lord about it. "Lord, You said once I decided to follow You, You'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed You most, You would leave me." And the Lord replied, "My precious, precious child, I love You and I will never leave You. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints in the sand, it was then that I carried you." May God bless the hearts of everyone here tonight. Amen.